As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. Welcome to our Thursday, April the 8th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Of course, my name is William Roberts. Always good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you each and every day. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. To be a part of today's broadcast, you can pick up the phone call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call in at area code 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Your calls are always welcome. For those without internet access, listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro-broadcasters, you can also reach me through snail mail. Send your letters to me at William Roberts Post Office, Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, that's Box 96, P.O. Box 96, out of Exeter, Mo, E-X-E-T-E-R, 65647. A big shout-out this morning to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, and 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Also, AM 1710 Liberty Radio joins us for our second hour out of Minneapolis and Jordan, Minnesota. Thank you all for broadcasting Become Vocal Local. To your local listening audiences, our call-in number remains throughout the broadcast and is posted on the oraclebroadcasting.com homepage, where you can also find our show archives access link. Get in there and look at those archives from the past. That way we don't have to keep going backwards and covering things over and over again. Lots more to do on the oraclebroadcasting.com homepage. There's chat rooms and other things that you can get involved with. I don't have a chat room or a website posted for this broadcast, however. Precious metals this morning in the U.S. dollar index trade higher, equities in the crude oil decline. Little Timmy goes to China. Bush and Snow go along for the ride. Joblessness continues regardless of the Bernanke spin. The global economic disorder continues. We'll go into the history of law a little bit more today. Property readings in law. Some interesting things I've dug up on personal property and other issues. And, of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let us do our market report for Thursday, April the 8th, 2010. Active trading out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gold trading off its morning highs, trading at 9 o'clock an hour ago. It's changing all the time, every moment. But trading up $3.80 at $1,151.80. Silver, we found trading off 10 cents at $18.03. Yahoo! Always like to see silver heading back towards 20. Platinum moves up $2, trades at $1,703. Palladium off $6, trades at $501 an ounce. That palladium number is pretty high, and so is that platinum. Keep your eyes on that. But all the numbers are looking good this morning in the metals market. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market, $1,143.10 for a low. $10 spread here, the high at $1,153. The London Gold Fix, boy, yeah, they're getting fixed all right. Andrew McGuire's exposing that London Bullion Market Association. But the London Gold Fix this morning, the boys in London ran up their little flags and dinged the bell and set the price at $1,146.50. Gold promptly went higher. Moving up this morning, the SPDR gold shares adds to their treasure chest of precious gold. They may have gold, they may not have gold, they may have tungsten-coated bars, they may just have warehouses full of cobwebs, but nevertheless, on the SPDR Gold Shares website, they claim an increase moving up to 1,130.7 tons of gold in their holdings. We'll be right back.
Take Cartivite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tones the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartavite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
If a claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent, independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at endlessfrauddetection.com today.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Thursday, April the 8th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. As we come to you live Monday through Friday, certainly trying to do our best to do that. You know, things shoved around a little bit differently and different connections running this morning. Hopefully the sound is coming to you all right. Looks like it's pretty good out of the board. We'll try a couple of different things, multitasking as we go through the broadcast. Let's go back in and close out our market report again for Thursday, the 8th of April, 2010, out of New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, we find gold trading up $3.80 at $1,151.80 an ounce. Silver off 10 cents at $18.03. Platinum up $2 at $17.03. And palladium off $6 at $501 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed off yesterday 72 points at 10,898. The NASDAQ closed off 6 at 2431, and the S&P off 7 at 1,182. Crude oil this morning drops down 79 cents. Boy, I like that. Maybe to go down $1.79, that'd be even better. How about $30.79? That would really be sweet. Get back down into the $50 range again. But anyway, crude oil off 79 cents, trades at $85.09 for those 42-gallon barrels of light sweet crude delivered as they are in Oklahoma. The U.S. dollar index this morning. Go up and look at the Intercontinental Exchange Inc.'s website and get an idea for what this USDX is that everybody talks about. Can't seem to get away from these legal fictions. Anyway, the USDX up 15 basis points, trades at 81.76. That impacts the foreign exchange markets, where we find the Canadian loonie backing down just a hair, just a little fuzzy bit from parity yesterday, with the U.S. dollar now at 99 cents U.S. again. The Mexican peso still on the high side of 8 cents, but trades at 8 cents U.S. The euro loses a little bit this morning, off 9 basis points, trades at $1.33. For British pounds, you're going to go over to the British style today. You'd pick them up, British pounds. You'd be exchanging $1.52 a pound, sterling, $1.52 a pound. But it moves down 15 basis points. And the Swiss franc, you know, the Swiss bankers read the article to you almost a month ago, doing everything they can to quash the franc. It moves down 3 basis points, trades at 93 cents U.S. It wasn't too long ago that, like the Canadian dollar, it was at parity with the U.S. dollar. Anyway, in the bond market this morning, we see a continuing increase here. The 2-year bond is trading at 1.03% on the high side of 1.03%. The 10-year bond yield is at 3.85 and the 30 at 4.74. In the mortgage market, the fixed 15-year mortgage market bumps up a little bit from a month ago, 4.36% to 4.50%. And the 30-year mortgages are moving up quite strongly this morning, from 5.01% to 5.24%. So you can add your points and origination fees and promotional costs and other things on top of that, but that's what you're looking at in the mortgage market. You know, there's quite a lot of information coming out this morning for news. Spent all day yesterday on news. I really don't want to spend all day today on news, but the jobless claims came out this morning out of the Econoday website, jobless claims. Here's the article. This thing has been changing. This thing has been being refreshed and updated almost by the moment. They're adding a lot in here. I'm telling you, they're putting a lot of frosting on this cake and putting a lot of lipstick on the pig. But here's the report, the highlights. Labor Department is citing special calendar factors for an unexpected jump. You know, it's always unexpected. If you can't blame the snowfall, then we have to blame the calendar. Well, here it is, citing special calendar factors for an unexpected jump in initial jobless claims to 460,000 more people standing at lines all over America filing their initial jobless claims in April, in the April 3rd week versus the prior week of 442,000. My goodness. The Labor Department is not only citing Easter as a distortion, but also the Cesar Chavez holiday in California. Get your picking baskets out, friends. That's right. The Cesar Chavez holiday. I wonder if they put that on the calendar. Cesar Chavez holiday in California. And it is further warning that seasonal volatility will shake up the numbers through the next several weeks. Seasonal volatility. Be careful. Otherwise, according to the Market News International Department reports, nothing unusual. They had to find something, and boy, they dug up some real weird stuff there. Special factors give importance to the four-week average, which is at 450,250, up 2,250 from the end of March, but down more than 20,000 from the beginning of March. How this month-to-month comparison tracks in the weeks ahead will shape expectations for the April employment report. Well, we'll find out more about that there. Let's go over here and see if we can pick up this one. Benjamin Shalom Bernanke, this off Bloomberg. Bernanke says joblessness and foreclosures pose hurdles, update 2. They keep updating this stuff continuously as they put more and more spin into it. But Scott Landman and Daryl Preston, I don't know whether he's any relation to our Preston, Johnny Preston, but anyway, April the 7th, this would be yesterday's news updated. Federal Reserve Chairman Benjamin S. Bernanke said joblessness, home foreclosures, and weak lending to small businesses pose challenges to the economy as it recovers from the worst recession since the 1930s. You wouldn't suppose that Benjamin Bernanke's been listening to the alternative media. We've only been talking about this stuff for about 2 years. Here's a quote. We are far from being out of the woods. Somebody, please send Bernanke a map and a compass. Bernanke said today in a speech in Dallas, while the financial crisis, I wonder if anyone was listening, while the financial crisis has abated and economic growth will probably reduce unemployment over the next year, the U.S. faces hurdles, including the lack of a sustained rebound in housing. Reminds me of the comment about a dead cat bounce. How far will a cat bounce if you throw it off of a concrete wall? A troubled commercial real estate market and a very weak hiring, he said. The remarks reflect concerns by Fed officials at their meeting last month that the job market and tight credit would restrain consumer spending. How's your consumer spending doing out there, America? At the session, Bernanke and his colleagues reiterated interest rates will stay very low for an extended period. He didn't repeat that in today's speech while saying the Fed's stimulative rates will aid growth. Stimulative aids. Is that prune juice, Ben? The economy has stabilized and is growing again. Although we can hardly be satisfied when one out of every 10 workers is unemployed and family finances remain under great stress, close quote, Bernanke said in prepared remarks to the Dallas Regional Chamber. There's your Chambres de Commerce. There's your Chamber of Commerce. We spoke about it yesterday. Well, we'll be back in a moment with more of this zany news.
Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hi, this is Mike Chambers. Join me live weekdays for Mike Chambers Live from 11 to 3 p.m. Central Time here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
And, of course, little Timmy goes to China. That's a fact. Geithner travels to China bearing an olive branch. Oh, God, that's similar. Oh, my goodness. Okay, he's going to carry an olive branch over to China. Yeah. Why do we always talk about the Treasury Secretary and we never talk about the Treasurer for the United States? That one mystifies me. U.S. Treasury Secretary Timmy Geithner. They included his middle initial to try and give him some credit here. They go, U.S. Treasury Secretary Timothy F. Geithner, little Timmy, embarked on a previously unscheduled trip, to China as the world's third largest economy weighs letting its currency appreciate. That yawn has been quite troubling. Yawn. Chinese yawn. Has been quite troubling lately. Matt Geithner left India for a closed-door meeting with Chinese Vice Premier Wang Qishan in Beijing today. Treasury spokesman Andrew Williams told reporters in Mumbai, Geithner stopped in Hong Kong en route for talks with local leaders. Congress is demanding Geithner label China currency a currency manipulator. A currency manipulator. Tarst. Cars, yellow people, slanted eyes, take them all out. Congress is demanding Geithner label China a currency manipulator for keeping the value of the yuan out at about 6.8 to the dollar, which some U.S. lawmakers say gives unfair advantage to Chinese exporters. Ain't that the truth? His trip comes 4 days after he postponed an April the 15th deadline for a semi-annual review of the currency policies of the major U.S. trading partners. Tax day, April the 15th. Don't buy. Don't comply and ask why. Quote, the U.S. administration was understandably concerned that we were headed toward a very slippery slope, close quote, said Stephen the Roach, chairman of Morgan Stanley Asia Limited, in a Bloomberg television interview yesterday, quote, if we had held to the April 15th deadline and gone out with a currency manipulation verdict on China, that could have unleashed a very dangerous chain of events. That's right, Stephen. Never, never, never slap your creditor. He ought to know better than that. Yawn. Yawn forwards. Yawn. The Chinese yuan. You need some stimulus there. Chinese yuan. Yuan forwards. Is that futures? I don't know. They're calling them forwards today. What's that? Goes beyond my pay grade. Yuan forwards rose the most in 6 weeks in Hong Kong after the New York Times reported that the government is, quote unquote, very close to announcing a change in its currency policy. 12-month non-deliverable forwards gained 0.3% to 6.6205 per dollar. That's 6.6205 yuans per dollar as of 5:25 p.m. local time, reflecting bets. You see how they run the global financial system? It's all just betting, futures contracts, derivatives, bubbles. Anyway, reflecting bets, the currency will strengthen 3% from its spot rate of 6.8238. Unrealistic expectations, U.S.-China relations have been strained by U.S. weapons sales to Taiwan. It's our number one export, you know. military-industrial complex doing wonderfully while the rest of us eat cake. President Barry the Usurper, President Barry the Usurper's meeting with the Dalai Lama in February and the shutdown of Google Inc.'s internet search engine in mainland China. Oh, really troubling things, aren't they? Didn't you stay awake all night wondering what Barry the Usurper was doing with the Dalai Lama behind the curtain, the Iron Curtain? And the shutdown of Google Inc.'s internet search engine in mainland China. Quote, it appears both sides have taken a step down, said Mark Chandler, the global head of currency strategy at Brown Brothers Harriman & Company in New York. Geithner's meeting with Wang Qishan, or Qishan, was only confirmed 2 days ago. Williams said yesterday, quote, the secretary and the vice premier have been working together to find an opportunity to meet in person for some time. Wang Qishan is the vice premier in charge of trade and financial affairs, and with state council member Dai Bingo, led China's delegation at the so-called strategic and economic dialogue talks with the U.S. He's also a member of the Central Leading Group. The Central Leading Group, Central Party, Central Leading Group on Financial and Economic Affairs, along with Premier Wen Jiabiao, People's Bank of China Governor Zhu Xiaqian, and Economic Advisor Liu He, according to China experts and non-governmental websites as of September. The olive branch? Geithner's visit to Beijing is very encouraging development that offers an olive branch to China ahead of a series of meetings, Roach said. Chinese President Hu Jintao is scheduled to visit Washington next week for talks with the usurper, and the U.S. and China are also headed toward their annual bilateral economic meetings in May, and then it goes on and it talks about this. Former U.S. Treasury Secretary John Snowjob visiting Shanghai, along with former U.S. President Shrub, also known as Bush or just W, said today in an interview that the U.S. should refrain from labeling China a currency manipulator. That's what John Snow said. Refrain from labeling China a currency manipulator. Of course, they don't mind labeling everyone as a terrorist. It would be a mistake, said Snow, now chairman of Cerberus Capital Management LP. Quote, there's a lot of pressure. I think it'd be a mistake to succumb to that pressure because the important thing is to continue to have open trade and good trade relations. Well, that's that article. Here's another one off Bloomberg. Siemens confessing to bribes help shareholders in CFO's view. This is on Bloomberg New News, April the 8th. Joe Kaiser was 6 months into his new job as the chief financial officer of Siemens AG in November 2006, and already he had a list of accomplishments to show for it. I'm not going to go through the whole article here, rather revealing, however. It seems that they were having a little bit of trouble around Siemens. No, that's... You know what I'm talking about, Siemens, you know, about bribes, taking bribes and so on and so forth. And so these guys are now going after the senior executives. Here we go. This is the part of the article I wanted to get to. Shareholders approved. No, here it is. That was quite a rough time, Kaiser said in February 9th interview at the company's New York office. Quote, it was a very dark chapter of Siemens history, he says. Looking back now, I probably would feel compelled to say it was a blessing for Siemens that it got caught then, and that this company had the opportunity and the chance to turn everything around and close that one for good. Shareholders approved a settlement between the company and nine former executives in connection with the probe in January. Under the deal, the executives, including former CEO Kleinfeld, would pay the company damages for failing to halt a culture of using bribes in order to win contracts, largely ending the ordeal for Siemens. Two former managers are scheduled to stand trial in a Munich court next week over allegations of breach of trust and aiding bribery. Kaiser's challenge now is to bolster profits of the company as the global economy recovers from the worst recession since the Great Depression. Then it goes on, talks about Bavarian-born Kaiser. But what is important here in this article is the idea that we're starting to see some blowback internationally, and bringing some of these cretins to trial. Is that something we can't do in the United States? Do we not have any grand juries? Can't we bring forth indictments, prefer indictments against these treasonous, traitorous, treacherous batards that have been looting the United States, the people, the treasury, for all these past 10 years? Sir, if they can do it in Germany, we can do it here. We'll be back.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Be prepared for anything. Disasters, drought, earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunamis. Be ready wherever your adventures take you. Ocean, rainforest, jungle, desert, even your own backyard. Seed Panel can help you make clean water from any source. Salt water, pesticides, arsenic, fluoride, brine, bacteria. With Seed Panel, you can handle whatever Mother Nature throws your way. Just pour contaminated water into your Seed Panel and let sunlight distill up to 2 gallons per day. 100% solar powered. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. If you're near the ocean, Seed Panel can help make your disaster kit ready for anything. Please visit cpanel.com, spelled SEAPanel.com, or call 205-246-6492, cpanel.com.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com. Rampant inflation that will eviscerate paper-denominated assets is just around the corner. The U.S. Treasury and Federal Reserve have been flooding the economy with trillions in fiat currency with no foreseeable plan to stop. In the last 10 years alone, the stock market has fallen 30%, and the U.S. dollar has lost 40% of its value, while gold and silver are up an amazing 400%. No other investment category has come near the return of precious metals in the last decade. Protect your assets by investing with Christos Trading. Christos Trading specializes in gold and silver IRA accounts, precious metals financing, as well as competitive pricing for gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. Christos Trading takes pride in providing a large inventory at excellent prices, fast delivery with free shipping and insurance, and very personal customer service. Get live price quotes for all products. Call Christos Trading today at 888-385-1116. That's 888-385-1116. Or visit their website at christostrading.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so let us return to our studies as opposed to the news. We'll just get more news as long as we're willing to endure the news. We'll have plenty of news. There's always new news out there, lots of new news. A.V. Dicey lectures on the relation between law and public opinion. We've spoken about this book before in his writings. These are lectures that were given in England this is lectures on the relation between law and public opinion in England during the 19th century. These lectures were given, however, in the United States in the early part of the 1900s. Let's see if I can find the date again here. He produced a book in a 1915 book on World War One, another in 1917, 1911 letter. Dicey identified himself as belonging to the mid-Victorian era Dicey's experience began when he went to Oxford in 1854, reinforcing these beliefs, so on and so forth. Spent 20 years as a journalist, a practicing lawyer, and as a political hopeful. He contributed to Essays on Reform in 1867, a prominent liberal project. Also wrote several legal texts that helped gain for him in 1882 an appointment to the position of Vinerian Professor of English Law at Oxford. This chair had once been held by Sir William Blackstone. As a matter of fact, it was created for William Blackstone, who features prominently in Law and Opinion. Dicey became famous as a legal scholar and for the book Introduction to the Study of the Law of the Constitution in 1885. Dicey was pleased with the impact of the book and was cited in Parliament by Gladstone within a year of its publication and was used as an educational manual in universities. So all of this a lead up to his trip to the United States to give this series of lectures. Where we find in Lecture 12 these words written, interest in the origin of laws or institutions shifts the aim of legal study. To Bentham, that would be Jeremy Bentham, he and James Mill and others, the founders of the Philosophical Radicals, the time of philosophical radicalism in England as they set out to codify and make statutory the laws of England. Continuing, interest in the origin of laws or institutions shifts the aim of legal study. To Bentham, its object was the promotion of salutary legislation which might benefit mankind. Now, all that's very important as we understand the idea of the happiness principle. As we say, if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. Because we absolutely must understand the pursuit of happiness to understand where we've come in this country, in my opinion. Researched as it is, to Bentham again, its object was the promotion of salutary legislation which might benefit mankind. To Maine and his disciples, the study of law had as its aim not the reform of legislation, which was what Bentham was trying to do, a great reformer there, but the knowledge of legal history as one of the many developments of human thought. To Benthamites, the promotion of human happiness, to enthusiasts for research, the extension of historical science is the true end of thought and study. As research, isn't that what we do here all the time? Isn't that what all of you are doing out there every day? Scouring the internet, researching. Do not fall prey to the analysis or the paralysis of analysis, but as research becomes more important than reform, the faith that legislation is the noblest of human pursuits falls naturally into the background and suffers diminution. So as we continue to research and research and research and research and study and study and study and study, our interest in law, legislation, and opinion, and public opinion, and government in general diminishes to our own peril. By this change, science may gain, but zeal for advancing the happiness of mankind grows cool. An historical inquirer again has, as such, no reason for disliking an abuse. The institutions such as slavery, which have added to the miseries of mankind, have a history and a very important one, no less than have the movements which have conferred the greatest blessings upon humanity. There is then no reason why the effort to understand the development of an abuse should not, to the zealot for research, be at least as interesting as the labor necessary for its removal. Unless we get caught up in endless amounts of research, as I say, and unless we get caught up in this idea of victimology and symptomology, where our research and our study of the victims gets raised to the level itself of a social science, and the study of the symptoms gets raised to the level of a social science, creating for ourselves victimology and symptomology, which makes up about 90% of the news reporting that's out there. Perhaps, as wise physicians, we might focus our attention on the disease instead. At least that's my logic. continuing insistence indeed upon the historical grandeur of a Constitution, which is full of patent defects, may become, even with a man endowed with the genius and the philanthropy of a Burke, that would be Edmund Burke, a plea for strenuous opposition to its practical improvement. A plea for strenuous opposition to its practical improvement. Our founders were not want in their knowledge that there had to be a method by which we could amend and bring our Constitution continuously forward with us in time. It's the abuses of that constitutional amendment process through the creation of the Uniform Law Commission and many of the various and sundry other heinous things done to us, the withdrawal of a sound medium of currency, if you will, honest weights and measures, gold and silver coin. That idea, the perversion of our system of government through the Administrative Procedures Act and the creation of all of these agencies, unelected and appointed boards and councils, an endless number of czars and so on and so forth. Historical research further, just because it proves that forms of government are the necessary outcome of complicated social conditions first, indeed, lead to the true conclusion that the wisest legislation can do far less than both philanthropic philosophers and the ordinary public suppose. Again, the wisest legislation can do far less than both philanthropic philosophers and the ordinary public suppose, for the immediate benefit of mankind, but next suggests the less legitimate inference that it is a waste of energy to trouble oneself greatly about the amendment of the law. That's where you go when you spend too much time researching and not enough time doing. Too much time gathering lumber in your mind and not enough time spent building something out of that lumber. The opposition, moreover, between Benthamite schemes for the benefit of mankind and the spirit endangered by the historical research may with advantage be looked at from a wider point of view. Individualistic liberalism, whatever may be the form it takes, rests upon a strong and an even excessive appreciation of the characteristics which are common to all men. But historical research, especially if it be carried back to or even beyond the earliest stages of civilization, brings into prominence and exaggerates the dissimilarities between different classes and especially between different races of mankind, and thus tends not to remove the reasonable grounds for securing to all men, as far as may be possible, an equality of rights, but to quench the confident enthusiasm necessary for carrying out even the most well-approved and the most beneficial among democratic innovations. Interesting words being spoken here to this audience. I think it was at Harvard. Law students, encouraging them to bring forward all the pure, the powerful, positive capacity of their minds and focus on conditions with a new outlook. The historical spirit, in the last place, often suggests to thinkers ideas of such great speculative value which tell upon their feelings of whole peoples who know not whence they derive their thoughts. Do we have whole peoples today who know not whence they derive their thoughts, but in whom these thoughts being transformed into passions may work out results very different from those aimed at by any philosophical reformer, and the results of which the good and the evil may be nearly balanced. Now he's going to go on and he's going to talk about nationalism. Nationalism. We talk about Americanism a lot. We talk about many things. But nationalism can be just as dangerous as can be collectivism or any of the other isms that are out there. Perhaps we'll carry on with that for a moment on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Take Cartivite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartivite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartivite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartivite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartivite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart-nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tone the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartivite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
Live Free or Die Radio with Lee Rogers, the most dangerous talk show in America.
Weekdays at 9 p.m. Central on Oracle Broadcasting.
And we have returned once again, looking at these various and sundry documents here, trying to find out where the heck I was before I took my finger out of this book. Very dangerous to do such a thing in this room, I can assure you. It's a term, talking about a transition here from individualism to collectivism. But at the same time, we had just gone into this. Here it is. I did bookmark it before I left the spot. All right. Nationalism. We hear about that a lot, don't we? Neo-Americanism, paleo-Americanism, nationalism, communism, socialism, collectivism, individualism, all these isms out there, nationalism. Well, this, written by A.V. Dicey a long time ago, and this is not an ignorant man. Nationalism, for instance, or the enthusiastic belief that the inhabitants of a country ought to be ruled exclusively by men. Ruled exclusively by men? How about law? Well, let's go with this, what he's got here. Nationalism, for instance, or the enthusiastic belief that the inhabitants of a country ought to be ruled exclusively by men of or supposed to be of their own race, has undoubtedly been intensified by the prevalence of the historical spirit and has in turn lent new prestige and vigor to the use of the historical method. Now, of course, we went into that economic history of the world. That was Karl Mordecai Marx. And Dicey is writing post-Marx, but Dicey is writing prior to the rise of the German National Socialist Workers' Party, nationalism, Nazim, the Ashkenazim, right? Nationalism. But nationalism has assuredly created an atmosphere in which utilitarian ideas cannot easily flourish. In other words, the writings of Jeremy Bentham, James Mill, John Stuart Mill, his son, the early libertarians, utilitarians, utilitarian ideas cannot flourish in a spirit of nationalism. The greatest happiness principle, the greatest happiness principle. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're in the right place. Because we start to unwind this Gordian knot. How did those words find their way into our Declaration of Independence? Although we never speak of happiness these days, we seem to have forgotten what it's all about. But again, the greatest happiness principle no doubt suggests that the inhabitants of a country may be better, or, so to speak, more comfortably governed by native than foreign rulers. Austrian administrators, though capable enough, were more likely to outrage Italian feeling than the grossly incompetent but Italian kings of the two Sicilies. Napoleon, the greatest administrator of his time, offered worse outrages to the sentiment of Spain than the vilest of the Spanish Bourbons. But who can deny that the administration of Lombardy may have been as good under the Austrians as now under the rule of an Italian monarch, or that Napoleon might have conferred upon Spain an administrative system which, from a utilitarian point of view, would have been far preferable to any scheme of government which has for centuries existed in the Spanish peninsula? And if it be urged that since Spaniards or Italians would not acquiesce in the rule of foreigners, it was impossible for alien rulers to establish good government either in Spain or in Lombardy, a thoroughgoing Benthamite would retort that this assertion, even if true, is irrelevant, for the resistance was caused by nationalism, and the question under consideration is whether the happiness, either of Italians or Spaniards, was promoted by yielding to the spirit of nationality. Many things drive the passions of a man, his nationality being one of them. Let's try this caller before he goes away today. This will be the third time on deck. Let's go live to Florida. Caller, good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just called in just to listen in. Press 2 is not working. I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm just trying to listen in to you guys.
Hey, that's great. Well, you did. Now that I know that you're a listener trying to listen, I'll quit trying to bring you up on the air. I feel sorry about that. Throughout the week, I've seen you on the call screen, but I haven't been able to bring you up. You go ahead, listen on, and enjoy, and we'll go back to the broadcast. I hope you find what we're talking about today interesting, and thanks for calling. Okay. Now I understand who Wayne from Florida is. Okay. Anyway, let's continue. So however this may be, it can hardly be disputed that nationalism, connected as it often is with historical traditions belonging to a past age, may and often has become a hindrance to what any Benthamite liberal would account good government. What is even more to be regretted, a narrow spirit of nationalism, fostered as it is by historical traditions, has in more states than one produced racial divisions and animosities, which are not only in themselves a gigantic evil and an impediment to all true progress, but since they depend upon feeling rather than upon any wish for good government, they cannot be composed by any merely rational reform or laws of or of institutions. Here, in short, the historical spirit unites disastrously with the apotheosis of instinct. So, there are things for us to look at when it comes to nationalism, things beyond the ordinary dialogue, and we need to look for that dialectic here. nationalism is not always does not always produce a good effect. It certainly does produce a desire for men to be ruled by their own race. That's a fact. And we can see how, when it's taken to its extremes in some locales, it has had deleterious effects on all of the people in those countries. So we need to be careful about nationalistic spirits. Again, it's a spirit of division, not one of unity. But, dropping down, happy, from a Benthamite point of view, is the nation which is not haunted by the dream or nightmare of past or traditional glory. Okay. I'm going to say that again. Happy, from a Benthamite point of view, again, these are the philosophical radicals, is the nation which is not haunted by the dream or nightmare of past or traditional glory. The singular absence in England of all popular traditions causes some natural regret to poets and even to patriots. Yet it has assuredly favored the growth and the preservation of English freedom. Forgetfulness is in politics akin to forgiveness. You might note that down on your Tomboy if you're on Linux, or in your notepad or your browser, wherever you've got a place, or a notepad and pencil. Forgetfulness is in politics akin to forgiveness. When we do not prosecute the criminals, it's the same as forgiving them for their sins, though there is no statute of limitations on treason. Forgetfulness is in politics akin to forgiveness. Well, fascinating stuff there. This is a little bit more out of Law, Liberty, and Parliament, Sir, selected essays on the writings of Sir Edward Coke. If you have no previous experience with Sir Edward Coke, I would recommend that you, if you're at all interested in law, the history of law, and how we came to be in the fine mess that we're in today, Ollie, that you might look into who is Sir Edward Coke and find out a little bit more about his influence on the development of English law. It's impossible to cover these incredible books that I get from Liberty Fund books in their entirety. We can only jump in and pull out little bits here and little bits there, and I can only hope that I can pull out something of use from time to time. But this section here, a rather lengthy section here, is on the origins of the petitions of right. Right, rights. Americans are going to very soon know what it's like to have no rights any longer. But this section here has to do with the Five Knights case and all of that in the development of the Magna Carta. So I'll just dive in the middle. There's no other way to approach it. Right after these words from our sponsors, we'll begin hour number two. Look at the Magna Carta and property law. We'll be back.
Claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent, independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at endlessfrauddetection.com today.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the Internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voice-over IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc. You are listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Thursday, April the 8th, 2010, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you live Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. Always good news, hard facts, workable solutions for you each and every day. Joined as we are here at our second hour, big shout out to Liberty Radio out of Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM Buffalo and 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Also, AM 1710 joins us from Liberty Radio out of Minneapolis and Jordan, Minnesota. And we thank you all for listening this morning and do support your networks. Keep them on air so that they can continue broadcasting, become vocal local to your local listening audiences. Our call-in number throughout the broadcast is 866-841-1065. If you have unlimited long-distance access or live in the Austin, Texas area, you may also call in 512-904-8014. All of that contact information is found posted on the oraclebroadcasting.com webpage for your convenience, as well as the Become Vocal Local show archives, which you can access. Just click on Show Archives on the homepage. The page opens up, and then click the, I think it's the third one down, Become Vocal Local, and voila, an entire year of broadcasts. And in my broadcasts, I do my broadcasts a little different than some. Although I do cover news and a little bit of market information on a daily basis, one of the things that I try and emphasize and draw out are some of these various and sundry musty tomes from my library so that we can look into the past and find out where we've been, so that we can better understand where we are today, and so that we can look into a future and chart a new course, a course that leads us into greater and greater measures of freedom and less tyrannical and despotic control. And unless we know where we've been and the paths that have been tried, we might find ourselves advancing solutions and causes that are actually far worse cures than the disease whom we attempt to eradicate. So we learn the wisdom of our elders, and then from our own fresh, pure, powerful, positive minds, we project into the future the events that need to happen in such a very short period of time. This out of, again, Law, Liberty, and Parliament, a Liberty Fund book. If you can access their website, it's easily done. Liberty Fund Incorporated, just put it in your browser and bingo, it'll pop right up. They're now associated with the University of Chicago Press. Prior to that, they were independent, I thought. We'll see how that transpires for them. I hope it doesn't influence the selection of the material that they cover. They've got many, many wonderful books. Books that have been brought back to life by Liberty Fund that otherwise would have just faded away in the dustbin of memory. But here, this is from a section, The Origins of the Petitions of Right. Let me see if I can get the first page of this section for you and give you a clue as to what they're talking about in this section. And here it is. Origins of the Petition of Right Reconsidered. Whatever their differing interpretations of the prehistory of the Civil War, no, not that Civil War, England, early, Historians of early Stuart England have long recognized the unsolved problems raised by the Parliament of 1628. Did Charles I abuse the legal procedures of the King's Bench in the Five Knights case in order to defy the spirit of English due process legislation? We could ask that of the usurper's administration as well. Are they doing this in abuse of our well-established English due process legislation? In starting the chain of events which led to the petition, who were the innovators? Why did the House of Commons pass resolutions which were an absolute denial of Charles I's right of discretionary imprisonment in any circumstance? Sound familiar? My, how times remain the same. We'll be back.
Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the Socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Be prepared for anything. Disasters, drought, earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunamis. Be ready wherever your adventures take you. Ocean, rainforest, jungle, desert, even your own backyard. Seed Panel can help you make clean water from any source. Salt water, pesticides, arsenic, fluoride, brine, bacteria. With Seed Panel, you can handle whatever Mother Nature throws your way. Just pour contaminated water into your seed panel and let sunlight distill up to 2 gallons per day. 100% solar powered. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance. If you're near the ocean, Seed Panel can help make your disaster kit ready for anything. Please visit seedpanel.com, spelled SEAPanel.com, or call 205-246-6492, seedpanel.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned once again right here on our Thursday, April the 8th, 2010, to our broadcast out, Become Vocal Local. And in this, in the previous hour, we went over a bunch of news, new news off the web, and began into a little bit from Edward Albert Van Dyce, his legislative opinion and public opinion. And now we're into the origins of the petition of right, this out of the selected writings and essays of Sir Edward Coke, a Liberty Fund book. And in this particular book, edited with an introduction by Alan D. Boyer, there is, for all of you that are real ardent and zealous researchers, an absolute treasure trove of citations and information that you would be able to research that in one volume you're unlikely to find anywhere else. Unbelievable amount of material. Let me just give you, without going into all the citations, a little bit more from the author here. And why did the MPs, that would be the members of parliament, not the military police, why did the MPs endure the ugliest parliamentary scenes before 1640 in their desire to secure an explanatory document in the spirit of their resolutions? In view of the wealth of literature on the petition, again, this is the petition of right, the origins of the petition of right reconsidered. This will be the Magna Carta soon enough. In view of the wealth of the literature on the petition, it is perhaps surprising that these issues have never been satisfactorily addressed. And for more on the Oracle broadcast host team, you can go over and visit with Carolyn Harris's Iconoclast report and go into or Constitution, I think it is, New World Order Library. I think it's under Constitution and find out even more. She certainly has done a wealth of research and provided it for you on that website. Continuing, the Five Knights case was the first link in the chain of events leading to the petition. But no previous writer has looked at the King's Bench records of this litigation. The Five Knights case was the first link in the chain of events. And this is part of research, trying to piece together these old, ancient, broken links that brought us from antiquity to where we find ourselves today. Continuing, the reluctance of scholars to study the official records of Parliament as opposed to the Commons' diaries has also obstructed progress in the matter of the petition's origins. All right. So the common course is to go to the Commons' the House of Commons' diaries. But as our author says here, the reluctance of the scholars to study the official records of Parliament. In other words, as you might discover and find out more about listening to Neil and Steve on their Endless Fraud Detection broadcast, get some understanding under your belt in regards to stare decisis and case law. Of course, we're going to talk a little bit more about that as well on this broadcast. We try and piece together all of the best of the best from all of the hosts on the network and other networks as well, not to be discriminatory. There are lots of good minds in the alternative media community. But to piece together all of these various parts and pieces as we attempt to forge a new chain, link by link by link, a new chain that we'll need to use to bind down our tyrannical and despotic government. The purpose of this article is to reconsider the whole question of the petition's background, demonstrating the extent to which it was the discovery of the Crown's own apparent duplicities in 1628, which created the explosive situation in which the petition was born. The starting point, of course, is the Five Knights case. The litigation, which was the fundamental point of reference in 1628 on discretionary imprisonment. In turn, the efforts of the Lords and Commons to resolve the question of discretionary imprisonment resulted in the petition of right. A petition of right that came out of the idea of discretionary imprisonment. As today we discover that the usurper's administration is talking about just arbitrarily and capriciously, and even invoking the precautionary principle, just collaring anybody they like, with or without charges, holding them for an indefinite period of time. Hence came the petition of right. In 1628, perhaps it's time to dust these manuals off, find out what has been done in the past, and bring forward our own petition of right today. Continuing here, it says, it was also the subject which Charles I knew most closely touched his prerogative. Hitherto, the source of the Five Knights case has been the reporter's notes, which were in circulation after the hearing, a version of which was printed in state trials. However, the notes of a reporter are unofficial source for a King's Bench action. In the same way, King's Bench action would be much similar to our Supreme Court. In the same way that parliamentary diaries are unofficial and sometimes inadequate, the Congressional Record, sources for parliamentary history. The whole gamut of the King's Bench record is extant, justifying a reappraisal of the cause célèbre. The five knights were Sir Thomas Darnell, Sir John Corbett, Sir Walter Earle, Sir John Hevingham, and Sir Edmund Hampden, who are among those imprisoned for refusing to contribute to the forced loan of 1626 and 1627. More forced loans. Are we being asked today to bear our fair share of the trillions and trillions of dollars? Go up and look at the debt clock. One of the members of Congress for Missouri has a little clock on there on his website, EC and DC. That would be Emanuel Cleaver's website on the right-hand side there, if my memory serves me right. And he hasn't changed it. He has the debt clock going, and he says, your share of the debt. Ain't my share, Emanuel. I didn't vote for any of this crap. I'm wholeheartedly and totally and unquestionably opposed to these debts. All five decided to attempt legal redress in the King's Bench. Isn't that what we get out of the constitutional, or it wasn't a convention. Oh, my guy's name skips my mind. He's been petitioning for redress of grievances for so long. Writs were awarded on the 3rd of November of 1627, commanding the wardens of the respected gaols, or jails, to produce their prisoners personally in the King's Bench and return the cause of the detention of each for examination by the judges. Again, this comes back to corpus, habeas corpus, produce the corpse, bring forward the man, into the light, bring him before a judge so that he can plead his case, so that we can see that he's still alive. So that we can offer him advice of counsel and so on and so forth. The writs were meant to be returned on the 8th of November, but none was received back on time because the wardens were unable to enter the cause of imprisonment without consulting the Privy Council. To circumvent this problem, the day of return was extended by the judges to the 10th, but still nothing happened. And it continues, See if I can find some place here to begin. The practical effect of the decision in the Five Knights case in view of the Charles I's refusal to file substantive charges was thus to give the Crown the apparent right to detain the four prisoners until such time as Charles decided to let them go free. Indefinite in turn. I'll be right back.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with a look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com. Rampant inflation that will eviscerate paper-denominated assets is just around the corner. The U.S. Treasury and Federal Reserve have been flooding the economy with trillions in fiat currency with no foreseeable plan to stop. In the last 10 years alone, the stock market has fallen 30%, and the U.S. dollar has lost 40% of its value, while gold and silver are up an amazing 400%. No other investment category has come near the return of precious metals in the last decade. Protect your assets by investing with Christos Trading. Christos Trading specializes in gold and silver IRA accounts, precious metals financing, as well as competitive pricing for gold, silver, platinum, and palladium.
Christos Trading takes pride in providing a large inventory at excellent prices, fast delivery with free shipping and insurance, and very personal customer service. Get live price quotes for all products. Call Christos Trading today at 888-385-1116. That's 888-385-1116. Or visit their website at christostrading.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Radio X. With your host, Jimmy X.
Sundays at noon on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So we've turned once again talking about this Five Nights case. It's leading up to some rather interesting stuff, very, very timely, actually. Insofar as we're looking back hundreds of years to ground that we have covered so long ago that it should be considered time out of mind, and that we should have to be visited with these kind of abuses in the 21st century by this despotic and tyrannical government in Washington, the district of criminals led by the usurper, the boy from Kenya, even his wife says so. Nevertheless, the whole gamut of King's Bench records is extant, justifying a reappraisal of this cause Salib. In other words, we're not going to have to dig through, you know, make things up and pull it out of the thin air, create it from whole cloth. This stuff is available for anyone that wants to look at it. But these five were imprisoned for refusing to contribute to the forced loan of 1626 and 1627. Received an email from one of our listeners asking me to talk about the Internal Revenue Service, the IRS, and the tax codes. Well, it's a little bit, again, beyond my pay grade. But at the same time, there's so much history to justify people not participating in that program, not contributing to these forced loans, that it hardly warrants going over again and again. All five decided to attempt legal redress in the King's Bench. Each sought a writ of habeas corpus on petition from the gaol. What are we doing, suspending habeas corpus in the United States? Here this all came down in 1626, 1627, here we are in 2010 going forward, and we're still questioning habeas corpus. It should be so well established in law that no supreme justice, any justice, no lawyer would even broach such a ignorant concept. But apparently, they are. The writs were meant to be returned on November 8th, blah, 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 continues. Those so imprisoned were not bailable. He argued, this is continuing a pleading here, he pleaded that the response by His Majesty's special commandment was positive and sufficient in law, being a valid cause for imprisonment, not the cause of the cause. He argued that Charles' power of discretionary imprisonment was upheld by strict law and precedents on record in the King's Bench, and that those so imprisoned were not bailable. Finally, he asked that the defendants be remanded in custody. This is Darnell. Anyway, no, this is somebody else to see. Sir John Branston. Sir John Branston appeared as the counsel for Hevingham, William Noy, and so on and so forth. Heath spoke for the Crown. Very complex stuff here. I'm just going to jump ahead a little bit further. I want to get bogged down in all the minutiae because there is plenty of it. You know, there's many different kinds of books, many different kinds of writing and authors. Some are meant for casual light reading. Some of them are meant for intense study. This is one of those latter. The practical effort or the practical effect of the decision in the Five Knights case in view of Charles I's refusal to file substantive charges was thus to give the Crown apparent right to detain the four prisoners until such time as Charles decided to let them go free. You could just put Jorge Bush in there. You could just put in Barry the Usurper in there, and you'd have the same sentence. It was not the first time in English history that this issue had arisen. It was aired in King's Bench in 1526 after Cardinal Wolsey had committed one William Hearn to Gaol, on a warrant signed by himself and others. It was treated in Sergeant Brown's case in 1540 when the judges resolved in Star Chamber that, quote, the king can send a man to prison and his discretion is not to be argued about. But whether the cause for which he sent him to prison is lawful or not may be determined by the law. The statute of Magna Carta is nullus liber homo capitur, etc. It goes on. From which it appears that the king cannot treat his subject contrary to the law. Let's see if it's been redefined here. Unfortunately, it's not clear from Spellman's report whether the cause in question had to be specific or whether it could be general, blah, blah, blah. On the other hand, the Elizabethan judges explained in 1592 that, quote, if any person be committed by Her Majesty's commandment from her person or by order from the council board, or if any one or two of her council commit one for high treason, such person so in the case before committed may not be delivered by any of her courts without due trial by law, and the judgment of acquittal had... Again, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. The decision of 1592 acknowledged that special command of the monarch or the authority of the Privy Council as a body was a sufficient warrant both to commit suspects to the gaol and to prevent the King's Bench from discharging them either absolutely or on bail. Continues, bail must be refused to dangerous men prior to trial. Rather than persons so committed could be arbitrarily, rather than that persons so committed could be arbitrarily imprisoned. Bail must be refused to dangerous men prior to trial. Another old precedent. Let's drop down a little further. Refusal to pay a forced loan. Let's see. For example, they could never know, quote unquote, know that the quote unquote cause of the cause of a prisoner's commitment was refusal to pay a forced loan. Rather, in the case of Guy Fawkes, an intent to blow up the Parliament House while it was in session. We should note that the English judges had to give their decisions on their legal, quote-unquote legal, rather than their personal knowledge in the interest of strict justice and professional ethics. Their personal knowledge, some of this comes into be opinions. Some of this may even lead into the area known as legal fictions. In Chief Justice Hyde and his colleagues, if Chief Justice Hyde and his colleagues had allowed themselves to quote-unquote know what everyone else in London knew in 1627, namely that the Five Knights were in prison for refusing to lend money to the Crown, they would have allowed bail without prejudice to the issue. Yes, this is this idea of the legal fictions. We're based on the proceeding and the pleadings and the evidence. The judge goes into this assumption where he has to pretend he doesn't know anything. It's kind of like what we had going down on September the 11th in New York City. A precedent cannot be stronger than it appears on record. The form of bureaucratic enrollment is crucial. And it continues and it continues. What's really incredible in all of this is that so much of this ground has been covered long, long ago, and it makes for very interesting reading, if nothing else. More interesting reading, a new book is now in my library, thanks to one of our listeners, recommended that I take the time and acquire. I didn't have the copy of this in my library, I do now, but it's John Locke of Civil Government, Two Treatises. And this is a number 751, Everyman's Library. I really really wish it had been a little bit more knocked up than it is, because I hate to go into a book that is was originally published in, let me see if I can find it for you. First published in this edition in 1924 and last reprinted in 1947. This particular edition is a good edition, by the way. But this is a 1947 little hardbound book, and I really am loath to go in and start doing what I ordinarily do, which is underlining, highlighting, and bookmarking, and so on and so forth, making it useful for the air, and memorizing the book in the way I do. But it's a very interesting little work, and it has a delightful introduction. I'll cover that in another broadcast. When we come back after this break, we're going to go back into personal property, because we talk about this idea of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We look at the various antiquity of this idea of property and how important personal property is. We don't understand it. We fail to understand the rights, blessings we have.
Does ordinary talk radio give you the laws?
Blah, blah, blah.
This ain't your daddy's talk radio. OracleBroadcasting.com.
Take Cartavite and live a longer, healthier life today. Cartavite is a combination of traditional herbal medicines to lower cholesterol, maintain circulation, and act as an anti-inflammatory agent. Cartavite uses the best of natural heart and body foods known, with herbs that have been used for centuries to help us maintain our health. Cartavite is the best heart and body extract health product available. You can go to heartdrop.com to hear the testimonials for yourself. Cartavite's professional formula provides antioxidant and heart nourishing ingredients that help the body deliver nutrients to cells and carry waste from all body cells. Derived from plants, these nutrients generally cleanse and tone the entire circulatory system. You can order Cartavite at heartdrop.com or call our toll-free number, 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Remember, that website is heartdrop.com.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
If a claim that you owe a debt is made, you have a natural and legal right to demand that a third-party company validate and verify the debt claim. When a party brings suit, it is demanded by our legal system that the suing party has a substantial amount of evidence on their side of the scales of justice to bring a lawsuit to court. Failure to substantiate the claim of debt in court voids any claim to the debt and opens the doorway to civil and criminal proceedings. Endless Fraud Detection hires competent, independent examiners to audit your paperwork to find discrepancies, violations, unlawful and illegal acts, and misrepresentation of material facts, as well as acting as a third-party witness to the validation process. With our services, once you have the audit, which identifies any discrepancies of state and federal laws, you have enough weight on your side of the scales to seek remedy. To get your audit started, please visit our website at EndlessFraudDetection.com today.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned once again. I know I stopped page too early. I really got all that set up, and then I forgot to didn't get to the point that I really wanted to get to here. A precedent cannot be stronger. Again, I'm reading out of this this work, The Law, Liberty, and Parliament, Selected Essays in the Writings of Sir Edward Coke, edited with introductions by Alan D. Boyer. continues here, under the origins of the petition of right, a precedent cannot be stronger than it appears on record. The form of bureaucratic enrollment is crucial. And it goes down, drops a little bit more. The convention was that a precedent was not on record unless enrollment on the quorum reg or controlment roll. It might just be accepted, if available, from one of the various series of King's Bench files, but very few persons knew their way around the mass of files, even in the 17th century. Now, you might go into a law library, and you look at all the books in there, and you go, my God, where do I even begin? There's nothing new to this. Ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of the truth, an endless number of laws. But continuing here, quite categorically, an entry in a rule book, being on paper, not parchment, was not, quote-unquote, on record, and could not subsequently be cited as a source of legal knowledge. In other words, until it got to the parchment, as long as it was still on paper, it was not and could not subsequently be cited as a source of legal knowledge. And it continues, we're talking about habeas, alias habeas, habeas corpus, per speciel mandantem domini regis, and so on, by his special, his majesty's special commandment. Per speciel mandatum domini regis, by his majesty's special commandment. It's another part in this, whether or not the rule of court in habeas corpus cases was remittur or remittur quasku or something like that, blah, blah, blah. Some of this stuff is legalese, law French, as they said. It's just kind of they make the words up to make it work. But here, this is a little bit more interesting. Given on the 14th and the 15th of April, their submissions lucidly resolved five fundamental points. First, there has been no quote-unquote judgment in the Five Knights case, but only a rule of the court. No judgment rendered. Only rules of court. We get into regulations, we get into agencies here in the country, and we're not really dealing with statutes, we're not dealing with substantive law, we're not really dealing with the opinion of courts. No judgments entered, only a rule of court. Secondly, the rule was not a precedent for Charles' alleged right of discretionary imprisonment for reasons of estate. In other words, he's doing badly in this lawsuit. Thirdly, the question of bail was always a matter for the decision of the King's Bench, each case being taken on its merits. Fourthly, the decision in the Five Knights case had been dictated by the technical question of legal, quote-unquote, knowledge. And finally, permission had been refused for the addition of Heath's special entry to the enrollment controlment roll. In other words, they'd refused to put it on parchment. And he, dropping down further, he confirmed that Magna Carta was still valid, although it was as fully made for the king as the subject. In other words, no man is above the law. It applies as well to bury the usurper as anyone else. And finally, in this section where I really wanted to get an end was this. The first three proposals invited Charles I to confirm Magna Carta and six other statutes, forming the basis of due process in England, and to declare that, quote, every free subject of this realm has a fundamental property in his goods and a fundamental liberty in his person. Just old stuff. So let's look at personal property. Again, property rights exist in relation to both tangible and intangible things. We can talk about the real property, but then there's also the chattels, and we've been talking about that. Things that are not real property, things that are not land and buildings. There's other personal property, house broken into, everything seized, the right to be free from unwarranted searches and seizures and so on and so forth, unreasonable searches and seizures, including your body. You're trying to board an aircraft and they're searching through everything that you own, seizing photographs of your body unclothed, all that. Property rights exist in relation to both tangible and intangible things. Remember when we talked about freedom, what is freedom? 100% control of your property 100% of the time? And what is property? A man's life and all non-procreative derivatives of his life. And that all of your property begins in your mind. It begins as ideas. The ideas prompt actions. The actions prompt other things. And then it all falls out as either real property or personal property. And property rights exist in relation to both tangible and intangible things. Thoughts are your property, as are your writings, as are the things that you make, as are the things that you acquire in life, books and other things, personal property. The term personal property encompasses tangible objects such as goods. Intangibles refer to things such as goodwill. What is goodwill? You build up a good name for a network like Oracle Broadcasting. It has goodwill value. It's like saying Chevrolet, at least in the old days when I was growing up. A certain amount of goodwill. Goodwill has value. You sell your business and you've developed a long reputation of being an honest and reputable source for such and such. That adds to the value of your property that you're disposing, because you can sell the intangible personal property known as goodwill. Patents. We can all understand patents. You're the inventor. It's an intangible. Just a piece of paper, man. And trademarks. Come up with some clever things and they become your trademarks. Become Vocal Local with an exclamation point. Vocal Local being from the Latin vocalis localis. Related terms to understand. I always italicize them and put them in bold text. And to become, becumen, velcumen, William, is an interesting study in itself. Basically my name. Become Vocal Local. With an exclamation point, it's a complete sentence. It's the exclamation point, it's the exclamation. It's the vocalization itself that becomes, that makes it a full, complete sentence. It becomes a subject. Otherwise, it's just an adjectival phrase. Intangibles. Refer to such things as goodwills, patents, and trademarks. Intangible personal property has value just as has tangible property, and each can be transferred. The term chattel is used to describe personal property generally. Chattels may also be classified as chattels real and chattels personal. Chattels real describe an interest in land, such as a leasehold. Chattels personal is applied to movable property. When chattel used in connection with intangible proper personal property, such property is referred to as chattel's personal in action. Chattel's personal in action, or choses in action, as they are frequently called, is used to describe those things which one has a right to possession, but concerning which he may be required to bring some legal action in order ultimately to enjoy possession. Any contract right may be said to be a chos in action. A negotiable instrument is a common form of chos in action. You know, your paycheck, the check you write out at the grocery when you're acquiring things. Negotiable instruments, dollar bills, promissory notes, and a deed of trust, negotiable instruments. Stocks and bonds. Although the instrument itself may be said to be property, in reality, it is simply evidence of a right to money. Your personal check is evidence to a right of money. The Federal Reserve note, evidence to a right of money. It is not money. It is an evidence of a right to money. And our Constitution says lawful money be gold and silver. And then they go on and elaborate on the ratios. It is noted that the negotiable instrument is movable and thus also a chattel personal. You can fold it in half, put it in your wallet, and go down the road, or just shove it in your pocket. Drop those little slugs in your coin pocket or purse. The distinction between real and personal property. We go through all of this so that you can understand what is being attacked on a daily basis. Not only your real property, through the imposition of the International Property Maintenance Code, which reduces your interest in the land to nothing more than a caretaker of the land of the state and the county you, city you live in, but also your personal property and effects.
TeamSpeak.cc is proud to announce that TeamSpeak 3 is now available. TeamSpeak is now more flexible, powerful, and scalable. TeamSpeak software enables people to speak with one another and transfer files over the Internet. TeamSpeak represents years of engineering experience and is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux. TeamSpeak.cc has the best integrated solutions for online gamers, virtual worlds, social networks, education, and any environment where up to thousands of users require crystal clear voice communications. Users can finally say goodbye to echo, feedback, and background buzzing noises as the evolution in quality voice communication has arrived. Go to TeamSpeak.cc to find out more. Servers now available and starting at just $2 a month. Remember, that website is TeamSpeak.cc, your total voiceover IP solutions provider. TeamSpeak.cc.
The Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network is on a mission to bring you the best in cutting-edge talk radio. Oracle Broadcasting is a true beacon of free speech, uncensored news, and relevant information that depends on the support of listeners just like you. You can help us expand our reach and inform the masses. Promote the network by clicking the socialize link on the left-hand side of the OracleBroadcasting.com website. Using the simple tools provided, it is easy to spread the word about Oracle Broadcasting on social networking websites, blogs, news feeds, and many other ways with just one click. You can also help by becoming an Oracle Broadcasting member today. For just $5 a month, you get access to the member's stream that allows you to listen to all of the great shows from Oracle Broadcasting in 128K stereo CD audio quality. To find out more, go to OracleBroadcasting.com. And thank you for listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Radio Network.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Don't miss 33rd Parallel News Radio with your host, Matt Kazee. Saturdays at 8 p.m. Central on the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
So in some ways, using the power of, I guess you could say, spaced repetition, we come back and we cover certain things over and over a couple of times in succession to try and cement it into your mind so that you can be able to access it in your own research. And maybe when you come across some of these ideas in your own research, they'll lead you into greater discovery and understanding. And all of this today, right in this segment anyway, coming out of the Principles of Business Law, Delvaux and Howard, towards the close of the book, now past page 1,000 out of this 1,089-page book. But the distinction between real and personal property, the distinction between real and personal property is significant in three situations. One, in determining the law applicable to a transaction. For those of you that do listen to Endless Fraud Detection on a regular basis, Neil and Steve get into this in great detail. But these are just some of the basic fundamental principles in law that you would learn in law in a course of law. So number one, in determining the law applicable to a transaction. Two, in matters of inheritance. And three, in the methods that may be used to transfer the property. The first situation refers to the principles and problems and conflicts of law that arise in connection with various types of property. Not all property is the same in law. As a general rule, conflict of laws principles, underline that, provide that the law of the situs, the law of the state where real property is located, determines all legal questions concerning such property. Law of situs. Legal issues concerning conflict of laws relating to personal property are not so easily resolved. So if you can nail it down, if you've got a piece of property and you have a legal description with boundaries, for all those people that don't believe in borders, they're ridiculous. What an argument. Anyway, you have a legal description on your property. You can drive iron pins in at the corners of your property. That's called having a lot survey or a land survey done. Get a map from the land surveyor. He puts his stamp, his seal on it. He seals the map. And when he seals the map, he commits to standing behind the accuracy and precision of his survey until the day he dies. Pretty bold statement there. But anyway, when you get involved with real property, the law of the situs, that county that you're in, that city that you're in, that town that you're in, the laws of the situs prevail. But that's not the case with your wristwatch or your automobile necessarily, or stocks and bonds and so on. Legal issues concerning conflict of laws relating to personal property are not so easily resolved. Conflict of laws, rules, may refer to the law of the owner's domicile to resolve some questions, and to the law of the state with the most significant contacts with the property to resolve others. The law of the situs is also used to resolve conflicts, especially when the property involved is movable. Therefore, the description of property as real or personal has a significant impact on the determination of the body of law, which is used to decide legal issues concerning the property. The second situation in which the distinction is important is in matters of inheritance. If a person dies leaving a will, he is said to die testate. Testate. Died leaving a will. Make sure that you have a will. And make sure that you've talked to whoever is going to be the executor of your will, and make sure that individual has a power of attorney for you. Without that, things get really complex and very expensive because you have to deal with the lawyers and the courts, and we'll find out about that. Again, if a person dies leaving a will, he is said to die testate. His personal property passes to the executor named in the will, not to all the family clamoring. No, it passes to the executor named in the will, to be distributed in accordance with the terms of the will. Very important distinction. You would be amazed at the greed level that comes out of a family when someone has died and everyone's trying to divvy up the stuff. This is why you need to have an executor you can trust, someone honorable who will be fair. But it's distributed in accordance with the terms of the will, so you take your time when you prepare a will to make sure that if that special ring or that special watch or that special item is to go to an individual particular, that you specify that. Otherwise, it all goes in a big box and it gets sold as an estate auction. And then at the estate auction, you'd have cash that comes in and then you divvy it up on some pro rata per share. And the watch is gone, or the books are gone, or whatever. They're gone. When a person dies without leaving a will, he is said to die intestate, and his property passes in conformity with the laws of intestate succession, which are part of the probate laws of every state. The laws of intestate succession frequently have different provisions for real estate than for personal property. And then it goes on and talks about it. In such cases, the importance of the distinction between real and personal property becomes obvious. There's a difference between the real and the real property and the personal property, between the real property and the chattels, if you will. Chattels real and chattels personal. Dropping down further here, conflict of laws problems. Okay, so this is a principle in law. Conflict of laws. Conflict of laws, principles. Conflict of law problems arise in inheritance situations also. The laws of intestate succession vary from state to state. In some states, a widow might only be entitled to one-third of the real estate and one-half of the personal property. In such a case, the conflict of laws principle and the designation of each item of property as real or personal determine the interests of the heirs. Generally, according to conflict of laws principles, real property passes in accordance with the law of the situs, whereas personal property intestate succession is controlled by the domicile of the owner without regard to the physical location of the property. Therefore, real property descends to the persons designated as heir by the law of situs. Personal property passes to the person appointed administrator by the court of the descendant's domicile. Now, if you don't have someone named, if you don't have a will, if you're going into this intestate succession here, part of the probate law of every state, perhaps a complete stranger will be appointed in this process as the administrator, and all of the personal property passes to that person temporarily. He distributes the estate of the deceased in accordance with the laws of the intestacy of the state, of that state. Words are important in law, not this state, but that state. In connection with property passing on death, it will be recalled that the Uniform Partnership Act also provides that a partner's interest in the partnership is personal property. It's, in other words, those intangibles, your interest in a partnership. It also provides that on a death of a partner, his right in a specific partnership property vests in the surviving partners and is not part of his estate. The estate has a general claim for the value of his interest only. So the more complex your life becomes, the greater your understanding of all of these various legal principles becomes as well. Choices have consequences. We talked about this idea of corporations, principals, agents, and third parties. But there are many different ways that people can come together to do business. And in the future, if all things continue as they are, as I'm confident that they will, if you're sitting on a board or you're sitting on a council, if you're elected to office and you're part of the government, general knowledge in these things would be of great benefit to you, so that when you listen to people come in before the council or whatever you might be sitting on, the agency you happen to be working with, that you can understand and appreciate the complexities they're trying to deal with, so that you don't just get some arrogant and high mighty Constitution, you must be kidding, Nancy Pelosi, with all the beads attitude. Understand how difficult it is for people to do all of these sundry things that are out there. Let's walk a mile in their shoes before we start throwing rocks. Folks, thanks for listening. I'll be back again tomorrow for another live broadcast. Until then, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Be prepared for anything. Disasters, drought, earthquakes, hurricanes, tsunamis. Be ready wherever your adventures take you. Ocean, rainforest, jungle, desert, even your own backyard. Sea Panel can help you make clean water from any source. Salt water, pesticides, arsenic, fluoride, brine, bacteria. With Sea Panel, you can handle whatever Mother Nature throws your way. Just pour contaminated water into your Sea Panel and let sunlight distill up to 2 gallons per day. 100% solar powered. No filters, no chemicals, no complicated maintenance.
If you're near the ocean, cPanel can help make your disaster kit ready for anything. Please visit cPanel.com, spelled SEAPanel.com, or call 205-246-6492, cPanel.com.
This is Mike Chambers from my good friends at GadstonTees.com, the official supplier of tees and gear for both the Oracle Broadcasting Network and Mike Chambers Live. Gadsden Tees is a supplier of high-quality shirts, caps, flags, and more, all geared to the spreading of the liberty and freedom message. Whether you're interested in a design already in stock or one of your own making, Gadsden Tees can outfit you and your organization with the look and style to get the message across to those you meet. Gadsden Tees has supplied gear to a number of freedom organizations, so you can be assured of receiving quality, revolutionary apparel with absolutely no hidden costs. The price quoted is the price you'll pay, regardless if it's one shirt or 1,000. Big orders or small, makes no difference. They're all treated with the same care and consideration. Get your liberty message out to the masses with revolutionary apparel from GadstonTees.com. That's GadstonTees.com.
Looking for great talk radio? You found it. This is the Oracle Broadcasting Network.